Is it worth a few dollars? Buy some pizza? Amen. 75. What's a soul worth? Nobody knows, does he? I tell you how you're gonna measure though what a soul is worth. What did God give for a soul? People say, well, the wealth of this world. Hey, that's nothing. Wealth of this world ain't nothing. Jesus, God gave His Son, the creator of everything. He gave His Son. Amen. That ought to tell you what it's worth. Amen. Praise God and praise God for that. There's no way you can measure the worth of a soul, but and we can't see it. You know, in our finite minds, we can't see it, but only God can look into us and see what the worth of a soul is. But we're fearfully, the Bible said, and wonderfully made. We were made in the image of God. And one of these days, we're going to be in His express image. We're going to be just like Jesus. Jesus, when we see Him, that's going to be the image of Christ be pressed into us. We'll be in the express image of God. I don't know about you, but I think about the mess I go through and the mess that I look at myself, and I don't know. Maybe y'all good people. I'm not. Only thing I can think of is I don't even know how God's even able to do anything at all with me. But I look at Samson. He used Samson. You know, I heard people say, "Well, God ain't going to use a dirty vessel." I said, "Well, who's He going to use then? Who's He going to use then? Huh?" Who's He going to use? Oh, we got some people out there that ain't they good and clean. They think they are. I look at me, I'm like old brother Ed Blue said one time. He said, what I know about me, he said, sometimes I loathe me. You know, but praise God. God is wonderful. God's good. And I know that we can get in this book, no matter what our failings is, this word will not fail. Stick with the book. Yes. It's able to take us when we're messing up or when we've messed up, go back to the book. Stay with it. It's able. The Bible said we are clean through the word, amen, that Christ has spoken to us, and it's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even begin to imagine. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. I said we were going to talk about the Holy Spirit for a little while. In this warfare that we're in, the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Boy, I tell you what, if they were carnal, we'd really be in a mess. Because I'm going to tell you something, our carnality is against everything that God is for. That would mean that we were enemies of God. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we got strongholds, it's all about us. I mean, they're in our public offices, they're in our schools of learning, they're in our homes, they're in our churches. I mean, I'm talking about devils. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about devils. I mean, they're in our places of learning. They're in our politics. They're in our public officials. They're in our churches. Some of them are pastors. Some of the worst. If you can imagine, probably some of the most powerful devils in Rowan County will stand in a pulpit this morning. I'm serious. And very slightly, they'll change the Word of God to get people confused and following after self-righteousness. That's what God wants. I mean, the God of this world, that's what the God of this world wants. He wants us to follow after self-righteousness and not after the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible makes it plain that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to His mercy. Amen?
Yes.
Mercy. We know what mercy is. That means we've done something wrong. Amen? And God affords us mercy. And by His mercy, we are saved. And His mercies are new every day. You know what that means? Huh?
Amen.
That means we're fouling up from day to day. We wouldn't need mercy. If we were doing right, we wouldn't need mercy. Amen? But we need His mercies every day because we are weak and frail. In our old nature, we're totally still just as totally depraved as we've ever been, and we need the mercies of God working in us, and we need the Spirit of God, because without the Spirit of God, there's no way that we can do anything right at all. For it's the Spirit, the same Spirit that worked in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same Spirit that has to work in us to do anything right and to do anything for God. Now, we find in Matthew chapter 2, we find that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know how they were trying to kill the Lord. And then in chapter 3, it said, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea." Now, the Bible said that John was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb. Now, we didn't get that. We were born. He was a prophet called from his birth. God sent him. He said, why did God do that for John? I don't know. I tell you what, he gave you some things he didn't give John. Amen. Huh? He gave you the whole counsel of God. Amen? Jesus said, among men there's not been a mightier than John the Baptist. He said, but those that are the kingdom, you got more than John. Amen? And John's got his reward, but we got ours. We got what God has given us. So, but he was filled from the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And according to God's calling, God called him. Amen? God's got a right to do that. He picked a man, put him where he wanted him. He picked a soul and put it where he wanted him. He put it in God. If you're here today, it's because God put you here. Amen? Don't look at yourself and think it's by some goodness of your own. It's by the grace, the mercy, and the power of God. The Bible says, "Even hereunto were ye also called, as Christ died for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Amen? It's by the calling of God. That's what we try to look at about this. In this blinding of Israel, God called them. Many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. God called them and called them, and he said his hand is stretched out still. Yeah. We're stretched out here in the United States of America too. It's stretched out still. But for the most part, who's listening? Amen. Who's listening?
Yeah.
I'm afraid that many times I look at myself, I said, I'm not listening. I'm a hard head. I see things and the way it's going, and I do not understand. Me and the pastors talk about this many times. Why we are not more broken than we are. Why there's not more tears when we look and see the way things is going. People tell me, about problems in their families, problems with children and stuff. Why is not the altars wet? Why is there not no more brokenness? Well, I can't say. I can't answer that. But all I know one thing, God called him, put him in a place, and God's called you and put you in this place. Even here, right here in this room right now, is God called you here, and to hear what he said in the Word of God, that we are to take heed to it, and that's where our problem lies. We might hear it with our ears, but are we hearing it with our hearts? Is it moving us and changing us? And that's what we got to have. The Word of God is not failing. We're going to give an account to it, amen? One of these days, we're going to stand and give an account for everything we've done in our bodies, whether it be good or evil, and there's nobody. I've looked at this many a time, and I can't get over this. I think about it all the time, about where the Bible says at that last day, when we're going to be there by the right hand of God, stand there beside the Lord Jesus Christ, and the dead are going to stand before us. We're going to see the dead. I'm talking about every person that is lost. That's what I'm saying. The dead.
We have life. If you got Jesus Christ, you have life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're dead.
Amen.
I've heard people say you're going to live somewhere forever, either heaven or hell. No. You're dead without Christ, period. You're not going to be living in the lake of fire. You're going to exist, but you're not going to have life. You're going to be dead, and you're going to be dead because you've rejected life, and you're going to go where the dead goes.
Yep.
Amen? And I'm going to tell you, they're going to be with your father, the devil. They're going to be with their father, the devil, for eternity, dead, cut off from life, cut off from God. And this thing that strikes me, thinking about that, I think about this often, where they came up, and God said, He said, now, the dead stand before God. He said, get the books. Open up the books.
Yes,
amen? Open up the books. And they're going to open up them books, and they open up the book of life. He said, his name there. No. It's blotted out. Blotted out, yeah. Jesus Christ died for every man.
Oh, yeah.
And God's got careful books. He's got the book of life, then he's got the Lamb's book of life, and they got to be in agreement. You know, just like any place you go, any place of business, you got two books. You got an in and out, right? And they got to be matched. God demands a perfect balance. It's got to be a perfect balance. And if they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, their name's not in the Lamb's book of life. And if their name's not in the Lamb's book of life, it's blotted out of the book of life. And they're going to stand before God. And what are they going to stand before God? And God's going to judge them. He's going to judge them for their sin? That's what some people think. They're not going to be judged for their sins. They're going to be judged for their sin. What sin? For rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. It was laid upon Him. It would be unjust for God to lay one lie against them. Because Jesus already paid for it. So that'd be unjust. He'd be a double payment. God ain't collecting interest. Amen. He talks against collecting interest. But it ain't about interest. Jesus Christ died. And we can go out and tell every man that Jesus Christ died. They have no sins against them other than this. If you've not trusted Jesus Christ, people tell you, but I'm so bad. Of course you're bad. We're all bad. You ain't no worse than I am. They say, you don't know me. I said, you don't know me. I'm bad. There ain't nothing good about Dave Leslie at all. But I can tell you about a good God that loves you. Amen. But they're going to stand there before God. I can see this. I can see this right quick. God Almighty said, take them, bind them hand and foot. Cast them in the lake of fire. Watchmen, water tonight. We're watching. God set us up upon our watch. God has set us upon our watch. Amen. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He set us upon a watch. And I can see this in my mind. I can see God the Father saying, take and cast them in the lake of fire. He said, I ain't going to do it. I did everything I could to try to keep them out of hell. I gave my son. I can see Jesus Christ saying, well, I'm not going to do it. It's, I died for them. I can see the Holy Spirit saying, well, I ain't going to do it. I told Dave Leslie to go tell him. Remember that? Remember when I spoke to your heart? And he said to his servants, take, bind them, hand and foot. Now, I ain't saying it's like that. Some say it's going to be the angels, but that's the way I see it. Because I know whose responsibility it was to tell them. It wasn't the angels' responsibility. God's already sent His word out. The Spirit of God went out on all the earth. And it's dealing with the hearts and souls of men. And He comes and He tells us the tale.
Yes, sir.
Now, it ain't our fault that they didn't get saved. It's their fault they didn't get saved. But it don't take away our responsibility.
Amen.
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 God knows them's His, and He's going to reach them. If He don't say, get this jackass to do it, He'll get a rooster over here to do it. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Exactly right.
And then you'll have a loss of reward, and they'll receive a reward. Amen. That'd be a jewel in their crown. But it don't change the fact that He told this jackass over here to do this. Amen. And the responsibility of it. This one went told. They didn't get saved. He still didn't get saved. He said, why is it His fault? This is their fault. It is their fault, but it's our responsibility. It's our fault too. I ain't saying it's like it. I don't know. Does anybody know? I don't know. But I tell you what, that's right. I still see the responsibility and the weight of it and the fact that there's a consequence for us not being obedient to who? The Spirit of God. Jesus, right here we see John. What did John do? He was filled from the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. What was he doing? Preaching. He came preaching. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle upon his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he said, now don't get your doctrine off of John. This is the kingdom of heaven. He was sent to Israel. He was a prophet unto Israel. Don't get your doctrine from there. But you can look and see what God gave him to do. He's also given to us. He's told us to go and tell, just like he told him to go and take and preach that message of the king was coming. Well, he's also given it to us to go out and tell the world the king is coming too. Amen? He's coming back. Amen? And you better be ready. You better receive the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to get left. Amen? And if you die before you get in, hey, you still ain't going. Amen? You're going someplace, but you ain't going to like where you're going. He told them that you need to repent. And I'm going to tell you what. We still got a repentance to preach. It ain't repentance of their sins, but it's a repentance of their trusting their self. It's self-righteousness. It's a repentance from dead works, because the majority of the church out here is telling people, be good. Don't do wrong. Admit your sins. I had a guy just lay into me in the nursing home one day because I come across plainly and said, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get saved by confessing your sins. You're not going to get saved by turning from your sins. You're going to be saved because Jesus Christ died for all those, and there is no sin anymore. And you accept Him, and you have salvation. If you don't accept Him, you're going to die lost. You don't have life. That's the only thing God's looking for. Is your name in the book? Do you have life? Amen? Have you received the life of the Son of God? He told them, he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What was it they were doing? They were rejecting Him. He said, he made it plain. He said, well, you think these sinners was worse than these sinners? He said, you're all equal. You're all much sinners. You need a Savior, amen? And I'm Him. And until you see the fact you need me, there is no salvation for you. You need me. And you think it's turning from your sins or confessing your sins. I don't even know all my sins. The ones I know of. I wouldn't tell none of y'all. I wouldn't trust you. Y'all blabbing to everybody. Huh? Rather than pray to the Father for me. They said, you wouldn't believe how nasty Dave Leslie is. He's a horror. He's a terrible guy. I can't. He told him right here, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they went about confessing their sin. They admitted what they were, sinners. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, you know what? This crowd, you see, we're good. We don't do sin anymore. And when we do, we get it right. We get it right. We do what God said to do in the law. We're righteous. And they were self-righteous. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And that's what the majority of the church is getting nowadays. The self-righteousness.
Yes, sir.
But they're good, upstanding citizens. A lot of them are. A lot of them are. But the thing of it is, we're not sinless. But we should sin less. Amen? We should because we love the Lord. We should because, you know, we got a testimony. But I'm going to tell you something. Your sinning less ain't going to make you no more right with God. It ain't. Because your righteousness is not because you sin less. Your righteousness is because Jesus Christ, you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have His righteousness. Amen? The righteousness of God imputed in your life.
Amen.
You know where you get that from? The Spirit of God. If you've been born in the Spirit, you have the righteousness of God. If you're not born in the Spirit, you're none of His. Look at this. O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, see, here it is.
Yes, sir.
The weapons of their warfare were carnal. Carnal. Their weapons were carnal. They were trying to save themselves by their own deeds. By their keeping of the law. By being good. Turning over a new leaf. Whatever. You know, whatever you want to call it. Baptism. Circumcision. Whatever it was. The weapons of their warfare were carnal. They not say with this that we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able with these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.
Yeah.
And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. Here's what I want to say. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But notice what he said. He's pointing them to what it is they have to have. Jesus told Nicodemus, except you are born again, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen?
Why do you think Jesus Christ had to go into hell? What do you think He had to go there for? He went down there. There was a crowd of people down there that was looking for a Messiah. And they were in the paradise. They were in the bosom of Abraham, the paradise of God. The children of Abraham. But for their age, they had to accept Jesus Christ for their own selves. And He presented Himself to them that He was the Messiah. Now, all of them received Him. See, they were looking for Him. They were down there. Could it be today? And He led captivity captive. And on the third day, He let them out. Amen. us out. Amen.
Amen.
This is a dead, dying world we're in. Praise God. One of these days, we're going to get let out. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He's made it plain right here. You are going to receive the Spirit of God or you're going to burn. Amen. You're going to have to receive the Spirit of God or you're going to burn. It's one or the other. Man, I like it. I like it when the Bible is plain. I hear these preachers say they want to talk about, you know, gray, areas of gray. No. Things are right or wrong.
Amen.
Things are right. That ain't areas of gray.
Come on now.
It might be you might not understand everything. And it could be. Now, don't get me wrong. One man says, you can't eat this, or you can't eat that, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. That don't make it right. Paul made it plain. He said, look, he said, if you're not condemned by the Spirit of God, have it to yourself. But you know there's a crowd of people out here, they said, they don't feel good about that, so have it to yourself. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. These are not commands of God. These are men. It's what they think in their mind. You know? I remember years ago hearing the message, no end of separation. You know, one guy said, well, hey, I heard a preacher get up there and say one time, he said, hey, I'm a called of God preacher. I got on a white shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? and, you know, I mean, I heard him say it in the message, and you know what? He meant every word he said. You know what do you do with guys like that? I let him think what he thinks. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to fight with him over. That don't make it right. That don't make it right. Don't make him right. We got things in our lives that are not right. And the Holy Spirit teaches it. But it's right or it's wrong. Period. In teaching or whatever. It's not shades of gray. You know what? Why they come up with that kind of stuff? They want to put doubt on this book right here. That's all that's about. You know, you got to discern it for yourself. No. The Holy Spirit of God will show you what it means or he won't. Now, we don't know everything. But he'll guide us into all truth. Amen? And something is either true or it's not. He said he'll thoroughly purge his floor. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 14. Oh, the time just goes so fast. Unless you're having a really bad day, and it just goes so slow. John 14. Look at verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's a good thing. Amen? We ain't got to worry about, oh, well, you know, we mess up. The Spirit says, I ain't hanging around with him no more. I'm out of here. He won't listen. He's a hard head. No, he said, he shall abide with you forever. That's world without end. Amen? Forever. Everlasting. We have everlasting life. Why do we have everlasting life? Because 1984, I saw what I was, a
sorry, no account, good for nothing rascal. I said, God, you're right. I am as sorry as they come. I'm wrong. You're right. I said, if there's any way, help me. Show me what I need. Buddy, when I called out to him, you know what he did? He did that very thing. He showed me what I need. I knew I needed the Lord. See, I wanted him. And when you want him, you're going to get him. Amen? I've heard preachers say before, you can't get saved when you want to. I'd like to see one person. Show me one man that got saved that didn't want to. Amen. Show me one. Huh? God, no man cometh to the Lord Jesus Christ except the Father draw him. It is God that worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. He works in you. He shows you what you are. He'll get there and he'll shine the light of his word on you, and you'll see yourself what you are. A no good dirty cockroach sitting in the middle of the kitchen table. That's the way I see myself the day I got saved. I was just an old dirty cockroach sitting in the middle of the kitchen table. And God cut the light on us. What'd I do? I didn't know where to run. Amen. Oh, God, have mercy. That's where I was, too, crawling around in there, blubbering like a little baby. God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Amen.
And I went down justified. Justified. He justified me to his Son. And God justified the Father to forgive me. Amen?
Amen.
Because he said, I paid the price. He said, I paid the price. You can forgive them. You can take them. You can accept them because they'll accept me. And I have paid the price. And they died in me. That's a miracle. You can't explain that. Amen? I already died for my sins. I ain't going to die for them again. I died for them in Christ Jesus. In a miracle I can't explain, I was on that cross in Christ. How is that done? It's done through the Spirit. Amen? He's the eternal God. He ain't like us out here walking on a plane of time. When he was on the cross, he was the Alpha. He was the beginning. But he was the Omega at the same time. And when he died for everything in between that.
Yes, sir.
Paid for the whole price. Oh, man. That's pretty good, I think.
Yes, sir.
And he shall give you another comforter, and he'll abide with you forever. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said, I will pray the Father. We mentioned this last week. I said, well, don't nobody, ain't nobody praying for me. I got the only one praying for me to count. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus. Amen. Right. You can pray to Jesus to pray for me, but yet I'm telling you, God ain't listening to us. He's listening to his Son.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus ain't listening to us either. He's listening to the Spirit that's in us. Amen. Because we don't know how to pray for it. We ought. Now, we need to practice at it. We need to get better at it. But it's the Holy Spirit of God that prays for us in words that cannot be uttered. It ain't coming out your mouth. It's coming out of the Spirit of God who carries these things before Jesus. And Jesus, in turn, takes them, lays them down in the altar for God. And you ever known Jesus not to get his prayers answered? No, of course not. He always gets his prayers answered. And the Bible says we learn to pray like him, we always get ours answered too. Amen. You ask what you will, and my Father will do it. But you got to do it. You got to pray the will of God. And to pray the will of God, you got to know the will of God. And to know the will of God, you got to be in this book, and you got to let the Spirit of God, who has discernment, give you discernment on situations. That's where we're failing, is it not? We don't have the Spirit of discernment in our churches the way we ought to. That's why we can't pray like we ought to. And the Bible says we can. So the failure is not with God or his promises. The failure is in us being in unbelief, not believing that God can do this for us. I believe He can. I ain't saying that He does. He does from time to time, though. He does. Ain't you ever known God to let you know something? I mean, you just knew this is where you were supposed to go. You just knew it. You ever prayed about going out and visiting, and God leads you right to that person that you knew when you got there you were right where God wanted you? And then God took over and gave you words. Gave you words. It didn't come from you. It come right out of the mouth of the Spirit of God.
Amen. Yes.
And that's what we got to have.
Yes.
We're in a warfare that we cannot win in ourselves. But it is won already through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have confidence in that. He said, He shall give you another kind. He'll abide with you always. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Right then, at that present time, He wasn't in them, but He was with them. They felt His presence and His power. You know what I'm saying? They knew what it was to have the Spirit of God upon them. They knew what it was to go out and, in the name of God, to lay their hands on people, and they be healed, and devils to be cast out. And they knew what it was to have that spirit of prophecy come upon them, and they gave the Word of God. But He said, He shall be in you. Amen? He wasn't in them yet. Wasn't going to happen until Pentecost. Huh? And boy, and the Spirit of God came down upon them, and He indwelt them. Now, for every believer, every person that hears the promises of God and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, you get it the moment that you believe God and He shall be in you. Now, here's what we need. We need Him in the midst again. He's in us. Every one of us is saved, but we need Him in the midst again. We need Him cooperatively, moving in the midst. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know what it's like to be in a meeting, brother, Rick, when he's in the midst, amen? Boy, it's just like you come up and take a brother's hand, you can just feel it, huh? He's giving, bears witness, amen? He's bearing witness. And boy, you can feel that presence, and everybody's got the same mind. You got the mind of Christ. What's your mind? Your mind is that God be magnified, be glorified. You got a mind that you're expecting God to work and do something. Amen? We didn't just get together to be here on what's called a Sunday morning. We got together and we're here because we're expecting from God, to hear from God, and that God show us what we need to be doing, where we need to be changing, and we're expecting God to do something. If there be a sinner in the midst, we're expecting God to bring conviction. We're expecting God. We're believing that God will and can and will. Amen? In the midst. That's that desire. We're yielded.
Yes, sir.
We're yielded. We're wanting to yoke up. Guide me, O great Jehovah. Come on. Show me. Speak to me. The world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Now, I love that verse. You know, Jesus left us, but He never left us. Amen.
Yes, sir.
He left us, but He never left. The Spirit of God was there with Him. He left. The Spirit of God was still there. So the heart and mind of Jesus Christ were still right there with Him. He appeared to him a few times, you know, and encouraged him. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Boy, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, Jesus just came by, you know, in the Spirit of God. And it dwelt them. And they were more intimately, they got to know Him, they got to know Jesus more intimately than they ever did before. See, John the Baptist, even though he had the Spirit of God on him, he experienced that during his earthly ministry. Peter and them didn't until the day of Pentecost, and they walked with him. They listened to him personally talk. But praise God. Peter made it plain. He said, you've got a more sure word of testimony. Huh? He said, you have a more sure. They were there. They heard Jesus speak. They heard him preach. He said, but you have a more sure word. Why? Because he is in you. You are more intimately connected to God than they were until the day of Pentecost.
Oh, yeah.
What a wonderful promise and what a wonderful thing that God has done here. He says, the Holy Ghost whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. But you know what? How do you get those things in your remembrance? We cannot know the mind of God apart from this Bible. He can't teach you because he brings it into remembrance. You got to put it in your mind first. The Bible said we've got to renew our mind. We got to take this word. We got to feed and feast on this word. The Bible teaches us that the word, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. Now, who's life? Huh? Who's life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am a truth. He said, I am the truth. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God shall lead you unto what? Truth. Truth. So what's he doing? He's taking us and leading us in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to take and we need to stay in this book. We need to read this book. We need to spend time in the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.